I'm excited to start something new this afternoon. We've been learning Baruch Hashem Mesilas Yesharim for several months, and we succeeded in seeing the first three or four key segments of Mesilas Yesharim, the Hakdama that really laid the groundwork for thinking about Avodas Hashem. The first parak, which set up a theoretical framework, conceptual framework for how to understand Kadosh Baruch Hu's plans for us and our role in this world, in a sense of what we can accomplish. And then we learned Prakim of the Heroes and Prakim of Zrizos, the first two out of the three necessary mitos in the Ramchal's reckoning. That's developing a sense of gravitas about life and an enthusiasm and energy to seize opportunities, to seize opportunities to grow in Ruch and seize opportunities to do mitzvahs. We're going to step away from that for the next couple of weeks to take the opportunity, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaRegel, begin to prepare ourselves for the Yom Tov of Pesach over the course of the month that leads to Pesach. There's loads of practical hands-on preparation that we need to do for Pesach. If we prepare not only physically, but mentally, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually as well, it will enliven and energize and deepen our physical preparations, and it will add so much more meaning and dimension to the actual Yom Tov of Pesach, to the Leil HaSeder and to the entire Yom Tov when you prepare in advance. I know I've spoken about this in the past, of Huttner's line, that the attitude at the end of Yom Tov should be Nishnach Yom Tov Avek, nor Nach Yom Tov Arayin. We should feel the end of Yom Tov, not another Yom Tov gone by, but another Yom Tov gone in. And the way we absorb a Yom Tov, instead of it just being a nice experience that, you know, comes and goes as a pleasant memory, the way we can absorb a Yom Tov, the way we can have it go through us, and it leave us change the people, that we be different in 2 months from now that we are now, that we'll be Pesach Jews, not just that we did Pesach, but Pesach did us. A lot of it hinges on the extent to which we can prepare ourselves mentally and spiritually in advance. The more we can carve out time, even small amounts of time, to learn to learn the halachas of Pesach, and number two, to learn the ideas and the themes that underpin those halachas. That's what we're going to do, Mr. Shemo, the next series of four Tuesdays, beginning today, that each Tuesday lunch, to take one aspect of Machshava of Pesach, and to have a chance to think together about more deeply about the themes of Pesach. Because this is our first Tuesday right after Purim, in addition to the first Tuesday that brings us to Pesach, I wanted to take a look at whether there's any significance to that. Tuesday after Purim, Tuesday leading to Pesach. Purim, Pesach, they happen to be, you know, next door neighbors on the calendar. Does that matter? Maybe it doesn't. After all, you look in Shulchan Aruch, and the in Chelek Aruch Chaim, the first third of Aruch Chaim, the part that has Mishnah Berurah on it, the first third of Aruch Chaim is the daily cycle. They come in the morning, tzitzis, tefillin, shachris, working, learning, benching, brachos, minchah marv, and chasnius. So that first third is the daily cycle. The middle third of Aruch Chaim is the weekly cycle, Erev Shabbos and Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos and so forth. And the last third of Aruch Chaim is the annual cycle, beginning with Pesach and Yom Tov in general, then working our way through Shavuot B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, and then Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Chanukah, Arba Parshas, Purim. Aruch Chaim ends with Hilchos Purim, Purim and Purim Chaim. So the way it's arranged in Shulchan Aruch, Purim and Pesach, Purim is at the beginning of the annual cycle, Pesach is at the beginning of the annual cycle, and Purim is at the end. After all, and why? Because after all, the halachic calendar, Chodesh Rishon is Pesach. So as we should read in the Megillah, Adar is a 12th month. So when you're done with the cycle, when you're done with Adar, you come back to Nisan. But you know, from that perspective, you might say, look, it happens to be Adar is Purim at the end of the one cycle, and Pesach is the beginning of the next cycle next year. Coincidental? Maybe it's not so. Is it? Does it matter? Is there any meaning to the fact that Pesach comes after Purim? So Rav Chaim Friedlander has a beautiful set of Sfarim, published posthumously. Rav Chaim Friedlander was a very, very, very fascinating, broad-minded man in many, many ways, a profound Baal Machshava, Mashkiach for decades in Ponovich. Before then, he was a Mashkiach in Shivat HaNegev, the Talmud of Dessler. He was a Talmud Chacham in Nigle and in Nister. Halacha, Machshava, very fascinating takes on science as well. Very, very broad and deep Baal Machshava. And his Sfarim, Sifrei Chaim, are modern classics. The first three volumes to come out were three volumes of the Moedim that take us through the cycle of the year and then deal with Shabbos. Very, very attractive, profound, theme-oriented essays on the Machshava of Difi Yom Tov. Over the next couple weeks, I'd like to focus on some of his writings. So the first section he has on Pesach actually is connections between Purim and Pesach. And we take a look here, we begin your page Rishon Lametz, the first essay he has in this section. If you have the text, you're free to follow along, or you can listen outside. Either way works. And I would love to save time at the end to take some questions as well, if people would like to ask questions. So, in terms of our opening question, is there any significance to Purim Pesach? So he starts with two rayas. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. That's certainly a well-known Gemara. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. A Gemara that to our ears might sound like it's no longer relevant. So who's singing it now? Right? Now that was in the lead-up to Purim. Pirush Rashi. Rashi says, Yimei Nisim Hayu Yisrael Purim U Pesach. That they are days of Nisim for Klal Yisrael, both Purim and Pesach. That's Rashi's take on Mishenichnas Adar. Kaloma, and this is how Simcha Nimshachas at Pesach. The Simcha of Adar continues through both Purim and Pesach. Now, before we dive into the significance of this, let's just appreciate, sort of on a technical level, I think Rashi's comment is probably driven by this strange terminology. We're so used to that terminology, Mishenichnas Adar, Barim B'Simcha, but it really is strange, because what would you have expected it to say? The Adar, Marav B'Simcha. So the month of Adar, Marav B'Simcha. What's it? It was a mission that when Adar comes in, what is that? The truth is that language by Av also. Mishenichnas Av, the Gemara puts them together. Mishenichnas Av, Mimatim B'Simcha. When Av enters, we reduce the Simcha. So there too. Why is it when Av comes in? Why don't you say in Av? So there the answer, L'chorah, is. Because it's not true for all of Av. After all, the Mishnah in the Talmud says that Tufa Av is the day of the great Simcha. It's just, as we know, it's the beginning of Chodesh Av that marked by Miut Simcha, by this reduction in the Simcha, added somber note. That, you know, from Chodesh Av until after Tishla. Not the entire month. Mishnah is Av. When Av comes in, we might be Simcha, but later on we change. So Rashi is probably trying to figure out, Rashi is probably driven by the question here, what does Mishenichnas Adar mean? It doesn't mean the whole month of Adar. Except here, he is facing the same question, he gives an opposite answer. In other words, it's true here as well. It's not, the Simcha is not applied specifically to the month of Adar. By Av, it applies less than the month of Av, and that's why he learned Mishenichnas. Here, Rashi seems to understand that it's more than just the month of Adar. It's Adar and Nisan. That's why he didn't say the Adar Marav B'Simcha. He said Mishenichnas Adar. Once Adar comes in, there Marav B'Simcha for some period of time. A period of time that goes through Adar and beyond all the way to Pesach. In that fact, around Yeshiva, at NYU, there's prizes that go up every year. I've gone up for a decade. Because I believe Rav David Lifshitz brought over from Fabatka that speak about that times go up to Chodesh Adar and they stay up through Pesach. All the way through Pesach. That's working off of this Rashi. The Mishenichnas Adar Marav B'Simcha is for the Purim Pesach combination. Then the question is, okay, so we understand where Rashi is coming from in terms of the language of the Gemara. What does it mean? So here we come back to the language of the Friedlander. mitzvahs of simcha nimshachas al pesach. There's mitzvah simchas ader, it's not just simchas ader, it's a mitzvah simcha ader and nisan. It goes all the way to pesach. Why? He used because apparently they share a common foundation. Apparently there's a common thread for Purim Pesach. And that's why they share a common mitzvah simcha. What's that thread? Rashi said, Yimei Nisan. So these are days of Nisan. There's something in common about that. And he's been, you know, so the Chaim goes on to point out, it's not only that Rashi and Tanis, it's also Gemara and Megillah, Kosh and Chazal. So I know it's important by Adar Sheni. Okay, Lishma Hu Las Purim Vegu Las Pesach. Whereas we discussed when you have a Shana Mubarak, when should you celebrate Purim? When should you have Nikah Megillah? Yudal Adar Rishon or Yudal Adar Sheni? And one of the arguments they're going to make for what we do, which is Adar Sheni, is because of Mitzmach Geula Lagula. We'd rather have, if we have a choice, we'd rather have Purim in the second Adar so it's closer to Pesach. In other words, we want Purim and Pesach to be neighbors. If we would celebrate Purim and Adar Rishon, so there'd be 2 months in between Purim and Pesach. That's not okay. We want Purim and Pesach to be as close as possible. They need to be neighbors. But the question is, he points out, what type of neighbors? Well, where's the common thing? They are happened to both involve Nisan, but Amna Mechad Yeshchiluk the Mahus HaNisan. In terms of what the Nisan were, they're very different. Purim Neis Nister, Pesach Neis Nigla. And we speak so much on Purim about Hester Panim and Esther, and Rabbi Shalom Zain doesn't appear explicitly. And Purim is even more so than Hanukkah, which happened later than Purim. Purim is the furthest from Nisan Nigla. It's all politics. All the Nisan are Nisan Nistam. Pesach is in many ways one of the greatest expressions of Nisan Nigla. The Makos, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yam Sof. They're so different. So in terms of what the Nisan were, they're very different. Ulam, however, Me'idach, Yishli Mudim, Mishra Tafim, Nisei Pesach Pum, the presentations may have been very different. The implementation may have been very different. He says, but there are common lessons to be learned from both. Kodesh Baruch Hu played it out differently, very differently in Purim and Pesach. The devotional method was very different, Purim and Pesach. But in terms of what we can draw from the Yom Tovim, there are many common threads. And he says, here's one of them. Achal ha-dvar ha-yisodiyim, ha-meshutaf la-Pesach la-Purim ke-echad. One of the shared ideas, Purim and Pesach, ha-limud she-yeshua rach me-Hashem yizbarach. To understand that ultimately we're saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and by HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone, results are on Him. Am Yisrael in the Ma'ura B'tzur P'ila by Yeshua. We ultimately don't make the results happen. We don't create Yeshua. As he's going to go on to say, we may need to be actively involved in doing the Yeshua B'Shtadah. The results are on Him. Zeh Miyichudo Shel Am Yisrael, and this is something very special about Klal Yisrael. Shu Mevinu Margish, we ought to understand, we ought to feel, Shu Chaser Ona B'liyas Yis Hashem, Yishas, to understand that without a Kaddish Baruch Hu, without Siyat Dishmaya, we can't do it. Chom Pu'ul Tzai Yeshua Eina Ela Me'i Tarif Baruch. Ultimately, accomplishing results, accomplishing Yeshua, accomplishing salvation, that's going to come from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And he said, now you might say, is that your trick? Is it really true that a common thread of Purim and Pesach? After all, Amnam, in the third paragraph, the Vaday Mordechai the Esther Pa'alu Begufam, in Neis Purim, they were definitely both actively, personally involved, Mordechai and Esther, after all. Esther Nichnas El HaMelech Pa'amacham. Esther has several meetings with the king. Mordechai Pa'al Ba'am Yisrael HaVazir B'Tshuva. Mordechai is very involved in galvanizing the tshuva movement among Klal Yisrael. And yes, he says, let's look at a text that we often ignore. L'marosos, despite the fact that both Esther and Mordechai are acting, their behaviors, their engagement, their doing, yet look at Al-Nisim. Muzkarim Mordechai v'Esther kivadera hagav. And I have to admit, I never began to appreciate Al-Nisim until I saw this paragraph. Because, you know, the Al-Nisim of Hanukkah is new text. Not, because there is no Tanakh, no passage in Tanakh about Hanukkah. The Halitzim of Purim is largely, you know, excerpts from the language of the Megillah itself. And yet, he says, Rav Chai Tzipin says, but look carefully at the Halitzim of Purim. Look at what you see, and look at what you don't see. What's there and what's missing? This is Gevaldik. Amazing Ha'ara. He says, what role do Mordechai and Esther play in Halitzim? He says, in Muskarim, Mordechai and Esther could be Derech Agav. They're tangential. The Yivei, Mordechai and Esther. The Halitzim that Paul opens up and mentions Mordechai and Esther as the context, you know, the historical marker. This may have happened in during the lifetime of Mordechai and Esther. I may find Ma'ora, Shir, Yivei. The Nes was an event that occurred during their time, during their lifetime, the Sulo. But no more. It turns out they made it happen. They were around. As for Yeshua, Paul HaKadosh Baruch Hu Levado. Yeshua was ultimately accomplished by Rabbi Hashem himself. Kamo Shomrim. That's what we say in the Alisan. The Ata Brachalech Haradim, Hefartis Atsoso. Kilkaros Tod Machashavto. Hashevos Ogmulo. So you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we say in Alisan. You, if you are great Rachamim, you undid Haman's plans. You ruined his design. You turned it all around so Haman ends up suffering instead of us. Just look at the Alanisim. Alanisim is not highlighting Mordechai and Esther's involvement. They were involved, and he goes on to explain why. Hishalus Hishal Mordechai Hishal Teira'e HaYeshua Ketotza Meishalus Tivis. He even suggests, and this is a very fascinating, he goes on to push this idea a step further. He suggests that Mordechai was actually working on making sure that although he and Esther were active, it should be clear that it was ultimately from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted to make sure, that's what Chai Friedlander argued. Not only does the Alanisim report that Lamasa ultimately was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Mordechai wants to make it clear. He says, "Hu mitzava Esther lavo hanech eschalenu levakish melafana." Right? You know, and Mordechai, that the dramatic conversation back and forth, the shock of the fire between Mordechai and Esther, he says, "Esther, you got to go to the king." What does she respond? "I need a trace lavo hanech eschalenu levakish." It's been 3 days since I've been called. It became a stumble of my yikali. I'll probably be soon called to the king. Why now? Right? And after all, as he goes on to say, they have 11 months. It's Nisan. The Gezer against the Jews is only going to be implemented in Adar 11 months later. Where is the rush? Let's just wait a few days. Well, that's one of the great questions that the Gezer is looking for. Well, why does it? He turn the page Reish Mem. Mordechai responds, no, you got to do it now. Why? Why not wait? It's a constant rush. Chazer Mordechai v'shachwa, al tizami ben ashech lemait peis hamach, we know, right? Mordechai says, don't be silent. If you don't, the Jewish people will be saved regardless. The question is, are you on the bus, Esther, or are you off the bus? Yeshua is going to arrive. It really doesn't depend on your shabbos. And therefore, don't act in a natural fashion. Go in now. Go in now to highlight the fact that ultimately, although we humans are involved, ultimately from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on to stress this. A couple of paragraphs later, he points out that when Esther walks into the king and ducks a bullet, Esther walks into the king and he extends the Sharvit HaZahav, and she's safe. You would have thought she would have taken the opportunity. And not only is she safe, but he's very, 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 he extends himself. He says, he's very open to her suggestion. What is it you want? And instead of capitalizing on the moment, seizing the opportunity to say, save Amisha, she says, you know, she comes to party tomorrow. What's that all about? At the party. Comes another party. Well, what's going on? So he quotes in the middle of the page from Rav Vilna Gaon on Esther, Perek Hei Pasukas, that Dachs Ad Lamachar Ki Shema Teidad Zavar Shemizeh Yivadash Shekam Nashayim Eskimu Kamo Shaya. She was waiting to see. She was delaying. She was stalling, waiting to see the Sibun HaShemayim. That this is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan to save Klal Yisrael on this way. And that's what indeed happened. She comes to the king, she says, we're going to have a party. So he comes to the party. She says, another party tomorrow. In between the first party and second party, what happens? The whole turnaround. And she sees in the streets of Shushan, Haman leading Mordechai, everything is reversed. And that's when she sees everything is upside down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so obviously pulling the strings in this direction. And that's when she's prepared to say to the king, please save my people. And in a way, he goes on to point out at the top of page creation of Malach.
In a fashion
that even Zeresh and the rest of Haman's coterie, they all say, it's clear, Mizera Yehudim, Mordechai Shalom, so it's the fun of if this Mordechai is from the Jews, Lo Suchalo, Nafalti Polifana. They realize that something is going on. They realize that something is going on. So let's pick up with the closing paragraphs on page Rishonot. What does this mean for us? Mutav Ro'i Adam Mishadel. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to actively live our lives, to put in Shabbos, to make stuff happen, to work, or to be more precise, to work towards making stuff happen. Devei Mitzvah, Devei Rishos, supporting our families, improving the community, furthering Ritzon Hashem in all areas of life, but to recognize at the same time that while we're working towards making stuff happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu absolutely expects our efforts. Results, however, are on Him. We have to know, Hishtadlus, he says, and here's the key line, Hishtadlus Ritzuya Rak Hashem Mishtadel Yodei Beberer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires and expects our acts of involvement in our lives and destinies when we recognize holy, that's such a question that gets discussed so often, hydro alarms, Yishtadlus, Bitachan, and so forth. He says the key of proper Yishtadlus is that I'm engaging it with the recognition, with the cognition that I need to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide what the results are. So he says, Pesach, that was definitely very, very clear. Right? Lo Yedei Malach, Lo Yedei Sarv, Lo Yedei Shaliach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvodo V'Yatzmo. There, it was very obviously a very nigla way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making everything happen. We don't live a world of Nisim Niglam. We live a world of Nisim Nistarim. In many ways, we live a Purim life more than a Pesach life in terms of the period of Jewish history in which we live and the sort of Hanhaga that HaKadosh Baruch Hu adopts with us. And in this section of Jewish history, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nista rather than Nigla. But it's incredibly important to realize that although the presentation is very, very different, the essence is the same. Mordechai even tried his hardest as Rav Chaim Friedlander, as Machadish, to highlight this, to make clear that although we're doing so much, but ultimately it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's driving results. So we're not necessarily Mordechai, we're certainly not Mechayev, to highlight it in action, that it does need to be eminently clear in our minds as we engage in the day-to-day Hishtadlus and in the greater Hishtadlus of bigger projects, both, to know that we need to work towards the results HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and at the same time recognize that ultimately, the results that end up occurring are on Him. We need to have this in mind as we make decisions and as we act. And I would close by saying we need to have it in mind, not only in mind and machshava, but it needs to be the deeper result. It needs to be a part of the conversation. I think this is part of the joint avoda of Purim and Pesach. So we'll hopefully be climaxed at the Seder, but it should be something that we're building in our conversations around the house beforehand, and hopefully something that the Seder will leave us with in weeks and months and years beyond. That Kadosh Baruch Hu should be on our lips. And we could talk about the same things around the house, and the same conversations, the same decisions, the same stories, and speak about it from a Kadosh Baruch Hu perspective. Kadosh Baruch Hu thought about the things worked out this way, instead of just saying, XYZ happened. Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that XYZ will happen. To speak in this language of Hishtadlus, human Hishtadlus and divine results. that's the core, as one of the common threads of Purim and Pesach, and that's part of. And we began. That's the Nishnichnas Adamar Besimcha. The Nishmas Geula Geula. The Geulas of Purim Pesach played out in very different ways, but as an essence, there's this common thread of recognizing that results are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is a source of incredible Simcha. To know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to act and to work and to make, to do our best to make things happen. And at the same time, there's someone far more capable than us, who is responsible for results. That's a source. You know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in everyday lives. That's a source of incredible, incredible, incredible simcha. Rabbi, thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling in.
I'm glad to stand the first question.